Welcome to An Evening with Nirvana. It's a podcast where I talk to various guests from the Dude community about level design, map making, and content creation. Today on the podcast, I'm talking to Dubs, or you might know him as B-Dubs. He's a Dune speedrunner and a mapper who's known for numerous contributions to community projects like Slaughtermax, Mayhem Orange, Hellforge speed mapping sessions, No Year, and more, as well as for his speedruns. He currently has over 2,600 demos recorded on DSDA with a mix of UVMAX, pacifist, and detour runs. He's also notoriously a mute. Welcome to the podcast, Dubs. How are you doing?
Hello, Nirvana. Thank you. I'm doing good.
It's exciting to hear your voice finally after all these years.
Yeah, I usually don't use my voice when I stream. No particular reason, but I'm just more comfortable streaming without using my mic, you know.
Yeah. Do you think it makes you less prone to getting distracted while doing speedruns and stuff too?
Oh yeah, that is true. Whenever I was using my mic doing speedruns, I would play the game like much worse than if I wasn't using a mic. So that's probably one big reason.
Yeah. I mean, I find that I just play worse in general on stream. Like if I'm streaming, I just play way worse because I'm distracted and stuff.
Yeah, you got the chat distracting you, and then you're trying to like think of what to say as you're playing the game, so it is pretty distracting.
Yeah, for sure. So the really exciting question right out of the gate, how did you get introduced to Doom?
So I was actually watching Man vs. Game on Twitch. He was playing Brutal Doom, and it kind of reminded me, like, hey, Classic Doom. I wonder if anybody else streams Classic Doom on Twitch. So I did a search on Twitch, and I found Mega Blast streaming Doom, and I started watching him.
Oh, wow, yeah. Mega is sort of how I ended up getting back into Doom, really, as well. He was, like, the first Doom streamer that I found.
Yeah, he was the first guy I followed, and then I think he was playing, like, Sunder or maybe Sunlust, one of those popular WADs, but I saw it and was like, holy shit, this looks pretty cool. I want to play it.
So this was how you sort of came back to Doom, but what about when you very first played it?
Okay, so yeah, I was just a kid, probably, I don't know, maybe 10 years old, and we did the Doom 2 on CD-ROM, and I played it back then, but I only played Doom 2. I didn't play any P-WADs or anything.
Oh, okay, yeah. And what about the other IWADs, like TNT, Plutonio? Did you get them much later?
Yeah, I played those much later, probably like 2016 is the first time I actually played those.
Oh, okay. So, custom P-WADs, did you not really start playing those until you came back to Doom when you started watching stuff on Twitch?
Right, yeah. Because I never really thought about them when I was playing Doom. So when I first saw Mega Blast playing them on Twitch, I was like, wow, these look pretty cool. I want to play them too.
And did you initially like try to jump straight into Sunder, or did you play some other stuff first?
So Sunder is actually the first P-WAD I did play, yeah.
Wow. That's quite an introduction to custom WADs.
Yeah, it's just, I think he was playing like map 7, and there was like 3,000 monsters in a big room, and I was like, holy shit, I want to play that.
How did it go? How was that experience?
Well, I definitely got my ass kicked, you know, the first time playing through Sunder, but I really enjoyed it because just in general, I like playing hard games, so that was like the main reason. I was like, oh, this looks pretty challenging. I kind of want to go and play it.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, like, the maps you make are pretty hard, and obviously you speedrun the game. What kind of like hard games do you tend to gravitate towards?
So I used to play these games called fan games off of the game called I Want to Be the Guy.
Yeah.
I was part of that community in like 2011, which I found through Twitch as well. But there's like thousands of fan games you can play, and they're really hard games, you know. They take probably like 100 hours to complete some of them, you know.
Yeah, I guess for like people who don't know, they're sort of, I don't know how to describe them entirely, but they're sort of like platformers, but also It would be like a series of really challenging platforming sections and then like a bullet hell kind of boss, right?
Exactly. The most famous one is I Want to Be the Bashi.
Yep. I think I've seen people playing that. It looks pretty rough. Sort of like really hard Mario Maker levels or something, but even worse, and then some insane boss that fires like 10 million projectiles.
Yeah, pretty much. And yeah, I think Bashi was the first one I played, and then I got into like the fan game community and started finding out like, oh my God, there's thousands of these games.
And did you, because I know that like a lot of people end up making their own fan games or whatever. Did you end up making any custom stuff for that or no?
I did actually, but it was mostly platforming. Like I couldn't really get into making bosses because you gotta know like coding and stuff like that. So I just made it pretty simple, spike jumps.
Right, yeah. And what about mapping for Doom? When did you first sort of get interested in that and make something?
So that was for Slaughter Max was the first time I decided to start making some maps.
Well, I wanted to talk about, I guess like Mayhem Orange was listed first, so I had that down initially, but let's talk about Slaughter Max since it was actually your first. You ended up making four maps for that project, and were you into demo recording at that point? Was the demo recording aspect of that what made you interested in making something for it?
So at the time, I didn't really follow Doom speedrunning or Doom demos at all, and it was just like a requirement of the project. You had to record a saveless demo to submit a map, so that's what actually got me first into recording demos, is Slaughter Max.
Yeah, I think I remember you ran my map against I believe Blood Eye Crypto was the other person trying to get a
Yes,
time off.
sir. I remember that. Yeah, we were going back and forth, and I felt like I could beat his time, and took a lot of attempts. But I think in the long run, I did end up getting a faster time than him.
I think so, yeah. You clearly better at bending the game to your will in the end. The maps that you made for this, they got progressively harder, but I wouldn't say they're like incredibly difficult maps. Was this mostly due to like the maxing requirement, or was this the kind of difficulty you just enjoyed?
At the time, it was definitely the kind of difficulty I enjoyed, and they got harder because I was like, I wonder what's like the hardest map I can make that I can beat saveless, and that ended up being the fourth map I submitted to Slaughter Max. It took me probably a week to actually get it saveless done.
Oh yeah, I mean Saveless definitely still challenging maps for sure. And in terms of difficulty, like when you make stuff, even now, do you generally make things that you just find fun, or are you building stuff like to be particularly challenging for you?
Yeah, so I still make stuff that I find fun playing. I usually try to beat every fight saveless, but sometimes it might not be like 100% consistent fights. But for more like community projects, I try to make sure everything is fair and balanced, 100% consistent, you know?
And when you like balance your fights, do you tend to make them as difficult as possible and then slowly turn them down? Or do you start out easier and then make them more difficult?
Usually they end up starting out too hard, and then I have to nerf them down until they feel more balanced. But there's sometimes for different projects like Pougars 31 or just Pougars in general, where I don't really care too much if it's like 100% balanced because the WoD premise was kind of supposed to be a meme to begin with.
Yeah, that's fair. And you go.
But yeah, I do try to make maps for like community projects to be 100% consistent in the fights I make.
So to go back to Mayhem Orange, for some reason that WoD, like Mayhem Purple and Orange, drew in a ton of like slaughter mappers. What made you want to join the project and make a map?
Yeah, so I think it was just because, like, the slaughter crew, so to speak, went to go make maps for Mayhem, Purple and Orange. So I decided to go make a map as well because I was like, huh, I want to get into making more maps for other community projects other than just Slaughter Max.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure what the draw was exactly. I can't remember if just somebody decided they were going to make a map, like Zal or Benjo. I feel like Benjo usually joins like quite a lot of community projects anyway. So maybe Benjo joined and then the rest of us all just kind of jumped on the bandwagon or something. I can't actually remember the exact reason why.
Yeah, I think it was Benjo who first was maybe talking about it, making a map for it, and then Mr. Zul, Mega Blast, you, I guess the entire Slaughter crew, you know?
Yeah. Sans Bemused. I think Bemused, not really a big community project guy.
No, I don't think he is.
So I guess around this time when you were like starting to make your own maps and playing Slaughter Max and stuff like that, were you still mainly like focused in on Sunder and things like that as your inspiration, like your fight design and stuff, or were you playing other WoDs that were becoming like more in tune with what you were interested in?
I think it was still like Sunder and basically WoDs made by Ribbix, but I also played Skillsaw WoDs like Valiant, Ancient Aliens, Vanguard.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually liked Vanguard a lot. And I was kind of like, you know, this is like still chill Slaughter, but it's still like fun to try to play it quickly.
Yeah, I talked to Skillsaw, and I've always sort of noticed that a lot of people who like Slaughter gameplay tend to like Vanguard the best out of his WoDs, and he had noticed that too. And he was saying that, maybe you already listened to the interview, but he was saying that basically Vanguard was going to be a mega WoD, and he ended up, because he made like a couple of maps for the early part and then some for the later part of the WoD that were more challenging, and then because he didn't want to make it into a mega WoD anymore, he ended up like condensing it down. So I guess like the difficulty curve is like a lot steeper for Vanguard than his other stuff, and he reckons that might be the reason why like Slaughter people tend to gravitate towards it.
Yeah, it makes sense because if you're playing like Valiant or Ancient Aliens, it kind of starts out slow, and maybe by the time you get to like a Slaughter map, you're already kind of like meh with the WoD, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty... Vanguard's... I don't know, I think it's like a big benefit that it ended up being like much smaller because, I mean, not only are those smaller WoDs kind of rare, but I think its shortness helps the gameplay quite a bit.
Yeah, I think by like map 5 you're pretty much full out Slaughter, I would say. Even though it's only like a couple hundred monsters, I would still say it's, you know, basically slaughter light, if you will.
Yeah, for sure. So I mean, you've made quite a few maps for community projects, and you made a lot of maps for the Hellforge speed mapping sessions. Was that like a unique experience working with like UDMF and targeting GZ Doom as a port?
Yeah, that was a little bit different, but I still made like boom maps, even though the target source port was GZ Doom. Uh-huh. The first UDMF experience I had was actually Mapwitch 2.
Okay. And I was curious what, like, your general thoughts on, like, Slaughter and GZ Doom and you know, what you think some of the drawbacks and maybe potential benefits are, like, of that port and of UDMF format and stuff.
So, I think it'd be pretty cool if you made, like, GZ Doom maps with, scripting and made some, like, cool fights like that, but most of the time when you play like a GZ Doom set, you really don't see that too often.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe like Elementalism. I don't know if you've played that, but that's got some scripted fights in there. It's kind of cool, you know?
Yeah, I think like my thing with GZM is, or UDMF, is I would like to see like fights that are built around things you can only do in UDMF, like certain obstacles you can only create in ACS, or, you know, there are so many options to use in UDMF, but I feel like a lot of the time when you play, you know, stuff in that format, it tends to end up being like that wave mode kind of gameplay where like a bunch of things teleport in one after the other via ACS or something.
Yeah, and that could just get pretty tedious and not really that challenging. Like, I guess some maps even have like infinite spawners where monsters will just keep spawning infinitely, but I think that's more like a multiplayer thing.
Right. Well, I mean, even something like that could be utilized in an interesting way, I guess. Like having an objective you need to destroy or something, and all the monsters just keep coming, or, you know, I'm sure you could make that more interesting.
True, yeah. I guess like the best WOD I've played that's like UDMF would maybe be like Bastion of Chaos, but Bridgeburner.
Right, yeah. Yeah, Bridgeburner definitely, I guess he shifted the thoughts about kind of Slaughter and GZ Doom a little bit. So ended up seeing a few more map sets in UDMF format for the genre, for sure.
Yeah, and I think out of the ones I've played, that was just like the one that felt the most unique to me. I can't really think of too many other UDMF WODs I played that were like, well, I guess Mapwitch 2 has some pretty cool maps in there if you've ever played that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I suppose, like, some... You could sort of argue that Paradise has its moments, but I suppose that uses a weapon mod and stuff, so it feels, like, very different to Classic Doom.
Yeah, I never really got into Paradise, but I know a lot of people were. Like, I remember Mr. Zul streaming it, and Nivanos, a few other people. It looked pretty fun, but I just didn't want to go out of my way to play it, basically.
Yeah, so not a mods guy.
No, I just like mostly vanilla. You know, once in a while, if there's like de-hacked monsters, that's cool. But if it's like different weapons, reloading, stuff like that, I just kind of lose interest.
Yeah. And I guess the big thing with GZ Doom is that the port itself has quite a few quirks, I guess you could say, that are like a bit of a problem for, I mean, obviously speedrunning because no demo support, and then the movement and physics and stuff are all a little bit weird if you come from Boom.
Yeah, it definitely feels like you're playing almost a different game if you switch between ports.
Yeah, for sure. So no, yeah. When you made maps for that project, what were, I guess, like, your general goals? Was it just sort of, like, coming up with a gimmick for each map, essentially? Or were you just making, like, dumb, fun stuff?
So, a couple of maps, I had a general idea before going in to make it. Like, I made, like, a crusher map where you had, like, health packs that you used while you were getting crushed, so you didn't die, but like the entire screen was red, and then you'd move to like the next crusher and get crushed there, pick up health. So that was like the idea for that map.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of it came down to sort of constructing a gimmick that was sort of simple and fun.
Yeah, like I had ideas before making the map, and then didn't really spend too much time on making it, but it was just like a fun, silly idea, you know?
Yeah, right. I mean, was there like general discussion about what they're like people wanted the WOD to be initially, or not so much?
So Craft Lab and I think Four Shot Blast made some like example maps, if I recall correctly, and I played those and got a general idea what, you know, the WOD was going to be like, and then just kind of came up with my own ideas.
So Dub's 5 minute What was the actual? I just for a Dubs 5 minute community project here, but I know that it has a, like a proper title that's like a, an acronym for DSDA.
Yeah, Dubs 5 minute design assembly.
Yeah, yeah. What made you want to start like a 5 minute community project?
So I guess it was a couple years ago at this point already. I was I had a goal of making 1,000 demos in 1 year. And basically to help out with that goal, I decided, you know what, let's make a bunch of 5 minute maps that are like, you know, a 30 second speed run. And that would be basically helping me get to 1,000 demos.
You were cheating, basically, is what you're saying.
No.
Officially outed as a cheater on the podcast. Did you find, like, was making the maps in 5 minutes actually, did it end up being like a useful exercise for you, making a map that quickly?
So not really, but it kind of helped out with just focusing on gameplay and not worrying too much about detailing, because I mean you only got 5 minutes, so you just kind of come up with some gimmick or some little fight. And that's pretty much all you have time for.
Mm-hmm. So I guess, like, would you say that was, like, the main benefit then? Just being able to, like, focus in on those encounters?
Yeah, because sometimes in other maps, you just kind of get caught up on, like, detailing. And maybe you know, can't come up with any gameplay ideas because you're just focusing on detailing. Stuff like that. So it was pretty fun to do, but I think it helped out with that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So I couldn't actually find this on the wiki, but you have that gigantic map that you've worked on for quite some time. And I remember Vile playtesting it, but is that not officially out? Like, is that not released?
So you must be talking about Profane Promised Land.
Yeah.
So that's that's actually final release. It's on Doomworld now.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to say that it was originally Elmley's map, and he actually asked me to playtest it, and I streamed it on Twitch for him. And then afterwards, I was like, yeah, the map was pretty fun, but it was like really, really grindy. So it was like, it was fun, but it was like, holy hell type of grind, you know?
Mm-hmm. So really fun is what you're saying.
Oh yeah, really fun.
I'm a big holy hell fan. So, he saw you testing it and he just wanted you to then contribute to it after you test it.
So if I recall correctly, he basically told me that he wasn't planning on releasing it because he just wasn't really too happy with I guess how grindy the map was. So I offered it to him. I was like, do you care if I like maybe switch around the fights a bit and work on it? He was like, oh yeah, sure, do what you want.
Mm-hmm. And I'm under the impression that that ward was worked on for quite a while. Like, it took quite a while before it was, like, ready to release.
Yeah, I think we're talking, like, the original conversation was probably, like, 2018, and then it only got released recently in, like, 2022, so it's, like, what, 5 years?
Mm-hmm. And I think you eventually got Gazebo involved to do, like, a lot of the detailing. How did that happen?
So I'm pretty sure I had no reason playtesting the map in Discord and seeing Gazebo joined, and he was just watching No Reason play the map. He was like, what map is this? And then we told him, you know, oh, it's a kind of like a Holy Hell tribute, a little bit of Okuplok. And then he was like, oh, I actually been kind of thinking about wanting to detail a map like this. And I wasn't sure at the time if he was serious or not, but I asked him afterwards. I was like, do you want to detail the map? Because you're definitely welcome to.
And spoilers, everyone, he said yes.
Exactly. Yeah. I DM'd him on Discord and he was like, yeah, sure. So he detailed the map. It took him maybe a month or something. And the map went from like looking like a holy hell clone to what it is now.
Mm-hmm. And how much of the grind was actually cut down? Like, I think of you as someone who probably doesn't mind a little bit of grind. I think I saw you running, not Long Road, but the other Benjo map, World Orifice, at one point. So I would imagine you don't mind the grind too much.
Yeah, I don't really mind the grind too much. I actually ran all the individual maps in Long Road No Turns. I didn't run the main map because that would take like 12 hours, but yeah.
Right. So it's still probably going to be a little bit of a grindy map for people who are interested. What's the monster count at, like the final monster count?
So the original monster count was 30,001, but I actually, at the end, it ended up being 40,001.
Wow. Okay. So you told him it was too grindy, and then you added 10,000 monsters, is what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay. Speedrunning. Maybe what you're known better for some people out there. I guess you said you started out playing, you know, like, I want to be the Boshi, I want to be the guy, those types of things. Did you actually speedrun those, or was Doom like your first proper speed game?
Doom was definitely my first proper speed game, I would say. Like, I want to be the Boshi. I played it multiple times, but I never had like the goal, like, oh, I want to beat it under an hour. It was just kind of like, you know, playing through the game multiple times.
Right. So the challenge of those games was enough. You didn't really need to be speedrunning them.
Yeah, exactly. And I wasn't really like the best player at those games anyway. I just found them really fun. But I think to be a speedrunner, you got to have like a real certain talent for those type of games to go fast, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I guess with Doom, I think of you as like a, you know, one of the better players out there these days. How would you say like you built up your skill at the game? Was it just from playing difficult WoD saveless over and over again?
So I think speedrunning in general definitely helped me improve at Doom. And I still would go back and play harder maps, saveless, but like speedrunning maps, when you get to play in like a fast situation, it just, I think it just improves your skill at the game more than if you were just playing casually.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember, like, was Slaughtermax the first time then that you really played through super challenging things without saves?
It was, because the way I used to play maps before that, which was pretty much only like Sunder and Sunlust, is I would just do each fight saveless. And I think that's what like Mega Blast did. And that's the idea I got from him, is just to do like every fight saveless, basically.
Yeah, that sort of became the, I don't know, the unofficial way to play Slaughter on Twitch for a long time, where it was sort of like do each encounter without saves and then, you know, save in between rather than mid-save spamming.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, to be fair, it's not just a case of like, oh, I want to do this fight like from beginning to end without saving. A lot of the time it's also just a better way to play, because not only do you learn the fight better and therefore you can beat it more consistently, but you also don't run into problems where you like have a save in the middle of the fight where you have like 10 health and then you just die over and over again.
Yeah, and you definitely see some Twitch streamers who fall into a trap where they're making a bunch of saves and then they have like a save with like 2% health and then they're just dying over and over and over. And then they're like, oh, this fight's bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember some specific examples of people playing my maps and saving themselves into like a real corner and then blaming the like encounter for how difficult a time they were having. And I was like, well, I feel like you probably could have avoided this pretty easily, but you know.
Yeah. And some people, you know, they just like playing with saves, which is fair enough, but they probably should also recognize that if you save yourself into a bad situation, it's not necessarily the map's fault, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So you currently have like 2,700 demos on DSDA, close to anyway. I think it's like 2,668 or something like that. And I know you've had like certain goals for doing a certain amount of demos in a year. I think you said it was 1,000 demos. Do you currently have any demo-related goals?
So I think the goal this year is to beat that again. So basically 2 years ago, I got 1,000 demos. Last year was like 1,100 demos. And this year, maybe it'd be like 1,200.
Wow. I could have sworn, I remember like coming into Discord and you were like trying to, I think this was when you were doing the initial 1,000 demo one, and you were like trying to get to the goal and you really didn't think you were going to make it. Did you actually make it all the way to 1,000 demos that first time?
I did. It was actually exactly 1,000 demos for the year. And if you look at DSDA, you can look at the stats and it'll show you under my name.
Wow. I think from what the DoomWiki said, I think you have like the third most demos on the site or something at this point. Is that a goal to become the person with the most demos, or are you actively competing against people who are still like putting out demos? So it's going to be a pretty difficult task.
So I think Four Shock Blast currently has the most demos, but he's really slowed down recently in terms of demo output. So I know I could pass him. But the other person is Andrea, and she's been pretty active with Doom lately, and I think playing more Doom than even me, so I don't know if I can compete with her, but we'll see what happens.
That's interesting. Yeah, Foreshock is definitely the person I would think would have the most demos. I just feel like if I watch the DSDA Twitch channel, it's like, you know, you got like a 50-50 as to whether it's a Foreshock demo.
Yeah, I think he has like 3,400 demos or something like that. But he's also been speedrunning for much longer than me, I think since like 2012 or something like that.
That's true. I mean, the fact that you did 1,000 demos in a year really, really caught you up quickly, I feel like.
Yeah, and it was just kind of a silly goal because I just had a lot of free time. I was like working from home because of COVID, and I was like, well, I got all this extra time, I might as well just play some Doom.
Yeah, right. And did you think it was like actually like a feasible goal? Did you think like, oh, I can make 1,000 demos in a year, or were you kind of fully expecting to not be able to do it?
So I kind of was fully expecting I wouldn't be able to do it because I figured I would just burn out from playing like 8 hours of Doom a day. It's like a second full-time job. You're just playing a video game for, you know, becomes less fun if you keep doing that every day.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm kind of surprised that you didn't burn out doing that many demos, but was there like in that same vein, I suppose, was there a WOD that you enjoyed initially that you ended up hating after speedrunning it?
So let me think. Maybe like Vanguard, because I really liked Vanguard, and then after speedrunning, I was kind of like, well, these maps kind of have a lot of issues with speedrunning, you know, like monsters falling into pits that you weren't able to kill, stuff like that.
Right. I know that like certain runners are sort of good at particular things. Like you talked about Foreshock, and like he's known for having like extremely strong movement, I guess. What would you say are like your strengths as a runner?
I would just say I'm really good at like UV max and another category called EV Fast, which is basically just kill all the monsters, you know, get all the secrets.
Mm-hmm. Well, UV Fast is, that's with fast monsters on, right?
Right, yeah, with fast monsters. And I've seen other runners, like, play UV Fast, and usually their runs are, like, they're peeking around a corner, like, playing it like a cover shooter. And what I tried to do with UV Fast is play it just like UV Max, where you're just, like, you know, doing an actual speed run.
Mm-hmm. What was the most, like, difficult UV Fast what speed run that you've done?
So probably, let me think. I don't know. There's so many wads I've ran that I don't even remember right now. But probably, like, for demo months, there's a lot of different wads you end up picking from because you got, like, a list of demos to do. And a lot of times those will end up being pretty hard to beat.
Mm-hmm. Could you talk a bit about, you know, demo month or and, like, the tables and things that speedrunners often talk about for people who aren't in the scene?
Right. So somebody will organize a demo month. It's usually, like, Foreshock Blast or somebody higher up in the community. They'll post it on Doomworld. And there's a different theme each time. And one of the themes last time was beat demos that end in 0-0 or 0.00.
Oh, okay. So there's a theme for each month.
Right. There's a theme, and then there's, like, usually a big list of demos you can go and beat. So it's really fun to do. You just, you know, look at the list and you're like, oh, let me try this one or that one. There's another theme is sometimes will be like beat Foreshock Blast month, which is just you go beat any demo by Foreshock Blast as long as it's a record, and that counts as 1 point.
That's a cool idea. I guess, like, this speaks a little bit to this question, but you don't seem to be too picky about what you run, I guess, since you're doing, like, 1,000 demos in a year and a lot of, I guess, table fills and stuff. But what would you say generally, like, if it's a speedrun you actually actively want to do, what draws you to a wad to speedrun it?
Right. So, yeah, I'm not too picky. Usually I kind of like wads that are kind of like chill slaughter. So stuff like Vanguard, but not necessarily Vanguard, because Vanguard had its problems, but like more modern wads that are slaughter light. So it's like you can complete the map almost every time, and your main objective is to just get the fastest time possible. Whereas if you were playing a much harder map like Dimensions or something, your goal really isn't to go as fast as possible. Your goal is just to survive the map, you know?
Yeah, right. So you actually want to be... like, do you find that the most fun thing for you is, like, optimizing the speedrun? So, like, getting first exit runs isn't as interesting for you?
Yeah. When it's a map like that, when it's, like, slaughter late, I definitely like optimizing it and making it a good demo. Whereas if I'm playing something else, like, I don't know, a nightmare run of, like, a Doom 1 wad, I don't really care at that point. At that point, I'll just, you know, get a first exit and be like, all right, that's good. Next map.
Right, yeah. And what about, like, what's your process for, like, routing, generally speaking? I guess you do a lot of, like, really quick runs if you're doing table fills and things like that. But what do you generally like to do if you're doing something that's a bit larger for routing?
So I'll play the map first casually. And then afterwards, I'll play the map quickly, but with God mode. And the whole idea behind that is, like, I don't really have to care about, you know, taking damage or anything. I'm playing with God mode so I can, like, figure out what's the fastest way to complete the map.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, like, my general idea of how to route a map, which sometimes doesn't work out because... you don't realize, like, you had God mode and there was 10 chain gunners shooting at you.
Yeah. So you find that more useful than, like, going in Nomo, for instance, to route?
Right. Sometimes I'll put on Nomo just to get familiar. If it's more like a movement-based run, like if you're doing a UV speed, then it's probably better to play in Nomo first to get used to the movement, where you're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
For UV Max, I just like throwing on God mode and figuring out what's the fastest way to beat this map.
I guess the benefit of using God mode is that the monsters are actually, like, they're obstructing you, so you probably get a bit of a better idea of what, like, the route will actually be like when you play.
Yeah, and this is also for easier maps. If it's like if it's a pretty hard map, then you can't really just play it with God mode and expect you're going to do it without God mode. So it all depends on the map, you know?
Yeah, I guess if it's like a map where killing the monsters isn't a major aspect of the gameplay, then the God mode thing will give you a pretty decent indication. But if it's like a bigger slaughter map where you have lock-ins and like a lot of it is like completing the encounters is a large part of the speedrun, then I would imagine that it wouldn't be as useful.
Exactly. In those cases, then that's when you got to use save and load and figure out, you know, the fastest way to complete a fight or complete a fight and come back later to clean up.
Mm-hmm. I guess we sort of touched on like what kind of speed running you enjoy, I suppose, but do you find that you're someone who enjoys like the techie side, like, you know, zero presses and glides and things like that, or is that not really something you're as interested in?
That's not really something I'm as interested in. I could still do like a glide or a zero press because I've learned how to do all those kind of tricks, but generally speaking, I just kind of like a basic UV Max run. That's like my favorite type of speed run.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a favorite demo you've recorded, like one that you're particularly proud of?
Well, recently I've been doing demos for Junk Food, and a lot of those were really fun, and they weren't really first exits, and got into a bit of a competition with other runners, and I feel like those are pretty fun, but sometimes they beat me back, so it might not even be the fastest time, but I'm like still proud of those demos because I spent like a lot of time grinding.
Yeah, and is that competitive aspect pretty important to you? Like, do you think that's why you sort of like the demo month and the table fill aspect?
Yeah, once in a while, like it depends on how I'm feeling, you know, like sometimes I'll be in a real competitive mood, but then like another day I'll just want to chill and table fill and not really care as much about the quality of my demo, whereas more it's, you know, just table filling.
Yeah, I'm always kind of interested in that. Are you somebody who, because I feel like talking to like Vile or Derek or someone like that who's maybe like a little more picky with the things that they run, they tend to really care about sort of like the aesthetics of the demo. Like, you know, if right at the beginning they accidentally rocket themselves or something, they might not want that in the demo and they might even reset. Is that something that you tend to care about, or are you just like, well, I got the time I was after and that's all that matters?
Yeah, so I'm kind of like the opposite of that, where I don't really care too much about like how the demo looks, as long as I get the goal I was aiming for, or if it just like to me felt like a good enough demo, I'm like, oh yeah, that's good enough. Move on to the next one.
Hmm. Do you have any kind of like? Are there any WODs that you really want to run, like? Maybe get like a more calculated demo down for like really like the best possible time, and like do you have WODs that you pick out like that, or are you pretty much just like along for the ride with the demo months and stuff?
I would say most of the time I'm just kind of along for the ride, and the demo months make it pretty easy because I don't have to even think about like, oh, what WOD do I actually want to run. There's just a big list for me to choose from. But there are some WoDs I wouldn't mind making much better demos for, like, you know, like a WoD like Sunlust.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have, I know you have a couple of runs for Sunlust. I think, was it the map 5 max that you used to have the record for?
Right, I had the map 5 max and I believe 31 as well.
Oh, okay, 31 is a unique one in Sunlust. I feel like maybe the least talked about map in that WoD.
Yeah, I think it came up in a demo month, actually, and I was like, Sunlust 31? I never even seen anybody play that recently. And then I took a look at it and was like, yeah, I could beat that pretty easily. And just decided to beat it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think someone beat it back recently. I think Maribo beat it.
Oh, okay. Do you find that annoying at all when people beat your times that you've really worked hard on? Or do you generally kind of enjoy the competition?
Generally speaking, I just like enjoy the competition, but sometimes you put a lot of effort into a run and then like the next day, like an Ankalagon will post a better time. You're like, what the hell?
Yeah, I think, isn't Ankalagon like a little bit notorious for that though? Like he will just randomly post a better time like immediately.
Yeah, like sometimes they'll, you know, post a time that's faster than yours in like an hour and you're like, oh, cool.
Yeah. I think I remember Rubix talking about how he did a run of map 35 of SF 2012. And I think Todd, like, just because it's a Todd map, time of death for anyone who doesn't know, but he basically just came in and like beat the time by like, you know, like 10 minutes or something. Because, I mean, that's all he does is just run his own maps, I think.
Yeah, pretty much. Every time I see like a Todd run and then I go and see what the map is, it's like a map he made. So
I think it's a very, like, for him it seems like the demo recording process is more about like proving that the map is beatable and consistent and stuff for anyone who might claim otherwise.
Yeah, that is true. I think he has said something like that.
Yeah, I think I don't know if you saw that Slaughter thread that was just up on Doomworld. One of my favorite threads for a long time, by the way. It was fantastic. I love these terrible opinions in Slaughter threads. They're great. But I think he actually posted for the first time in a while on Doomworld and was just like, I'm yet to see any of these people who complain about Slaughter actually post a UV Max demo of the WoD they're complaining about.
Yeah, I know which thread you're talking about. I saw that yesterday or a couple days ago.
Yeah. I just thought it was funny because it is kind of true. People who are like, oh, it's not a skill-based issue, but then if you told them to UV max it, I don't know that they could. That's all I'm saying. You know, I'm taking Todd's side a little bit. were there any WoDs that you kind of regretted getting involved in the speedrun for? Like, were there any that were just so awful to run that you either put down completely or begrudgingly finished but ended up hating a lot?
So we did a demo pack for some nano WoD month WoDs, and one of them was called Nano Pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the one I regret the most spending so much time on, because all the maps are really tight on ammo. There's not much health, and there's just lots of hit scans. So you're trying to play them quickly, and you're just dying over and over again to shotgunners doing like 45 damage to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting what stuff is like particularly brutal for speedrunning from a pistol stud. And, you know, it seems like certain TNT maps, for instance, are actually really difficult. Even though they're an IWOD, but because of the amount of hit scan and stuff, tends to be like pretty prohibitive to going fast.
Yeah, exactly. You'll play the map casually and it won't be hard at all, but if you try speedrunning it and you gotta like get the fastest time and run past all the hit scan, well, suddenly it's the hardest map ever.
Mm-hmm. And when you design maps, like, how conscious are you of like speedrunners playing your stuff? Like, I would imagine you're obviously thinking about basic things like monsters not being able to fall in pits that aren't accessible and things like that. But do you tend to like build maps with the ability to have more open routing involved and things like that, or not so much?
So usually not so much, just because my design is just kind of like make an arena and then you go to the next arena and then the next arena. So
right.
Usually it ends up being just like, you know, you just do the fights and then that's the speed run.
Right. Okay. I've noticed that you've done a few detours in the past, but a lot of them are like for shorter wads, like it might be a detour, but it's like an hour or something. Are you interested at all in like the longer detours? I think at one point you were sort of thinking of doing a detour of a wad. I can't remember what it was, but I do recall you having some ideas about doing one.
Right, so I was originally planning on doing a detour of Resurgence.
Yeah.
And it ended up being like a 6 or 7 hour speed run. And once I realized that, I was just kind of like, I'm having second thoughts about wanting to do a detour.
Mm-hmm. And what's like the longest single run that you've done then?
I think I did one detour of some kind of wad. I forget what it was even called because it's been a while, but it was like 2 hours and 21 minutes.
Right, okay. So, not really approaching the 6 to 7 hour mark.
Right, exactly. Like, I like maybe like 3 hours is my limit, and then I kind of want to either take a little break or do something else, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so what are your general feelings about detours, I guess, in terms of like routing them and stuff? Do you find them interesting because of like the continuous aspect, or do you generally still prefer like single segment stuff?
I think I generally prefer the single segment stuff because I just kind of feel like I can optimize those a lot better. If you're doing a detour, I just kind of feel like you're almost doing a borderline like casual playthrough because you're like gotta do a lot of safe strats, and it's not true for everybody. I mean, you look at Derek and some of his detours are pretty aggressive, but generally speaking, I kind of feel like detours lend to more casual playthrough, you know?
Right. Also, I guess, like, because there's generally going to be less competition for something that takes that long to do and is, like, that much of a challenge, you can probably afford to go a little bit slower because, you know, you're probably still going to get the record for it and it'll probably sit there for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think Derek did the Sunless speedrun and he had the record for at least like a year or so. And then next person, Navanos, did it. And I think Kinetic Beverage is looking at it now. But generally speaking, you won't find too much competition on detour.
Yeah, I think Derek was thinking of coming back and doing it again, wasn't he? But I'm not sure if he will now.
Yeah, I know he was looking at it on Twitch like not too long ago, but I feel like he's probably lost interest by now, but who knows? Maybe he'll come back one day and show us all.
Yeah, I mean, just the time commitment alone for something like that, it must be difficult to actually fit it into your week, I feel like.
Yeah, when he was originally streaming the Sunless detour, I feel like he spent, I don't know, maybe 6 months on it or something. It was definitely quite a long time.
Yeah, for sure. I asked this question of like a lot of speedrunners that I have on here because I am curious about it, but what do you think could be done to make Doom a little bit more accessible for new people wanting to speedrun the game?
So I feel like DSDA Doom has kind of already done that for new people, and I feel like that's why we actually have a lot of new people joining the speedrunning scene. As far as like last year, we had a bunch of new people, and I think it's just DSDA Doom has all those nice quality of life features that really help out with like somebody new coming in and being like, oh, this is pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things some people do bring up is things like, you know, tutorials and maybe like an update to the movement Bible that's maybe a little more descriptive of how to do things like glides and things like that. Do you think, like, you know, videos or, you know, something like that could be useful?
Yeah, I think definitely, like, for glides in particular, when I was first trying to figure out how to do a glide, I watched, you know, someone do a glide in a run and then tried to do it myself and had no success at all. And I couldn't figure it out. And then I had to ask, I think, Four Shot Blast, or maybe it was Elmley, one of the more movement runners, and how do you do a glide? And then I found out, oh, you got to be on something called Short Ticks. And I was like, oh, I had no idea what Short Ticks even were at the time.
Mm-hmm. Could you explain what Short Ticks are to people who might not know?
So Short Ticks happen when you're recording a demo, and basically when you're moving the mouse, there's less angles you can move. So if there's less angles you can move with Short Ticks, it's easier to line up for a glide, because normally you're on long ticks and there's way more angles, so so a glide will be much harder to do.
Right, yeah, because you have to have like a very fixed position to do a glide so that you can slide through, because the gap will be the exact width of the player.
Right, exactly. And, you know, first time doing it, I wasn't recording a demo. I was just trying to practice and was like, what the hell? This is impossible.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, definitely things like that. Some extra tutorials and things like that. But it does seem that Discord has probably helped a lot. There's a speedrunning Discord that it seems like it's pretty welcoming to new people. And threads on Doomworld and stuff as well. So it does seem like it's helped, like, foster a bit more of a community around speedrunning.
Yeah, and I think mostly because of Twitch and Discord is, like, the biggest reason why Doom speedrunning is, like, more active than ever, is because people will see it on Twitch, and then they'll join the Discord and, you know, see everything going on, and they'll want to get into it, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess you didn't start because you were watching a speedrunner, but you started like getting into Doom because you were watching on Twitch, so. And for me, that was definitely like my re-entry into playing stuff, and definitely what made me want to play like harder content as well.
Yeah, that is true. Yep.
I suppose like another thing that I often talk to speedrunners about is like what they think about the demo format and how it's like a bit different for the Doom community, because a lot of other speedrunning communities, like, they require you to record your runs for proof on, like, Twitch or YouTube or something like that. Although, usually, I think you have to live stream it in order for it to be, like, a valid record. I guess I was just curious, like, what your thoughts are on the demo recording process, and, like, do you think there are any improvements that could be made to maybe, like, help to validate runs and things like that?
So, I think DSDA Doom recently has something called a strict mode, and that kind of helps people know what is allowed and not allowed during a speedrun, because a strict mode will prevent you from, you know, using cheats or using a task feature that you didn't know you couldn't use.
Right, so it's like a compatibility mode.
More or less, yeah. And I think that helps out for newer people. They just put on strict mode and you're good to go. As long as strict mode is on, you play the game however you want to play. You can, you know, customize it as long as it's acceptable or works in strict mode.
So do you think, like, there would be any benefit to making it so that all demos had to be completed in strict mode to be valid? Or do you think that because there are just, like, so many hundreds of thousands of demos now, that it would just be too much of a problem, like, basically almost invalidating older demos?
I think because of the history of Doom, that it's still pretty acceptable to just go with the, you know, the demo format. and not require streaming, because that's just kind of how it's always been. But on the flip side, it does raise some eyebrows when some new guy named Blood Eye Crypto comes into the community and all of a sudden is putting out like a Dimensions Map 3 max.
Yeah. So there's certainly something to be at least discussed with regards to maybe having some more strictures in place in terms of validating demos, especially for newer people.
Yeah, and a lot of people believe that if it's a more quote unquote important run, that it should be streamed. So it just erases any doubt from people's minds. Like, okay, this run was streamed. It's definitely legit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I suppose technically there would be ways to even cheat when you're streaming. You could do something crazy like record a splice demo and then play that, and then just have a mouse and keyboard cam that you pretend with for the whole demo.
Yeah, that is true. And I know some people have accused some other people of doing that. So, it's not foolproof, but streaming at least makes it harder for somebody to cheat.
Yeah, for sure. And it would at least sort of put it in line with other speed games, because technically a speedrunner could do exactly what I just said for pretty much any game.
Yeah, definitely. And hopefully if they're using the latest version of DSDA Doom and using strict mode and also streaming, it would be hopefully pretty difficult for them to cheat, but you still never know.
That's true. But there are certain tools, right, to where you can go back and look at someone's inputs and things like that. So there are definitely ways these days to validate runs a little bit better.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody really wants to volunteer to do that, but if a suspicious demo comes around, then there is the tools to check out that stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's a warning to all you cheaters out there. Dubs is watching at all times.
That's right, and Foreshock Blast.
Mainly Foreshock Blast, I think. Although, I think Zero Master does a lot of, looking through demos and things like that as well, right?
Yeah, I think Zero Master, as far as I know, he kind of knows more about that stuff than most people, because he makes task demos himself, so if he sees some really sketchy inputs, then he can know just from his own personal experience, that shouldn't be possible unless you're task.
Yeah. Doom tasking is definitely very interesting to me. Have you done task demos at all? I'm not actually sure from your DSDA portfolio.
I haven't actually. It's something that I would maybe be interested in, but I just never really did it. So
yeah, seems like there's a bit of a wall of having to learn the tools and things like that.
Yeah, as far as I know, the tools are a little bit outdated compared to DSDA Doom. So to get into it now, it'd kind of be going back and using PR Boom Plus to figure it out or something, you know?
Right, right. Okay. Interesting. So you're trying to get to 1,200 demos this year, you said earlier. Where are you at demos-wise for now?
I think I have about 300 for the year so far. Let me double check.
So you're perfectly on track, pretty much. You're actually a little bit ahead. That's pretty good. That's right, I'll edit out you checking. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. I was I actually am at 223 demos for the year, so a little bit less than I thought, but we're still on okay pace, you know.
Well, it's still pretty good. You got six days or something to get to 300, then you'll be good to go. You'll be right on.
Yeah, no problem.
I'll check in with you December and see I feel like that when you were doing that 1,000 demos, you were like a little bit stressed out about it towards the end. You were definitely worried you weren't going to get there.
Yeah, and I think part of that is because the goal really wasn't decided until like the last couple months of the year, because I was already at like let's just say like 700 demos or something. Then I was like, oh shit, pretty close to 1,000 demos for the year. Maybe I should just go for it.
Right. So this should be easier, maybe, because you're actually planning for it a little bit.
Exactly. If you plan it and kind of balance it out more, and then hopefully it won't be so stressful at the end of the year.
Yeah, you don't have to do 300 demos in 1 month, or start a community project to reach your goal.
Yeah. Speaking of that, there might be another one of those just to maybe help me get to 1,200 demos, but I don't want.
Right. Yeah, perfect. I feel like you should make it official now that it's definitely happening, and then people can prime their maps.
Yeah, I mean, because there was a DSDA too. I don't know if you saw that, but we did make a second one, and that was kind of the same purpose, but that was just kind of like, because we made the first one, let's just make a second one.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of a good community project idea because, everyone's got 5 minutes. So if you're someone who usually can't get involved in community projects because you don't have the time, then making a map in 5 minutes might be good for you. And also, I think I would always argue that for new mappers, it's actually really good to complete a map, even if it's really small. Like, I think if you're going to speed map, then having a speed mapping goal where it's build an entire map with an exit in this set amount of time, I think that's usually the best way to do it because completing a map is pretty challenging sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. And for the second project, we actually ended up with 60 maps, which is quite a lot of maps.
Yeah. Well, let's see if we can get Dubs like, I don't know, like 800 maps for this project, and then he'll be done for the year.
I mean, that would be perfect. I could just pick one WOD to run for the entire year, get to 1,200, and retire, go to Hawaii.
Yeah, exactly. Go back to becoming the best Doom 1 speedrunner, which I believe is your goal.
Oh, speaking of, what was it? When I first was going for 1,000 demos, I wanted to make my last demo, number 1,000, be kind of special. So I decided to run E1 M1 on UV Fast.
How did that go?
So I ended up beating the record like relatively easy, but I wanted to get a better time because I was like, well, this is an IWOD run, so I got to try to optimize it. And I think I spent like, I don't know, maybe 12 hours in one day playing it. It was kind of stupid, but I don't know. It was the last demo of the year, so I went for it.
Nice. And well, I mean, I feel like you also want like a nice optimized run for that final one, so probably good to have that under your belt. And now also maybe it'll last a bit longer, a bit more of a challenge for people.
Yeah, actually, somebody beat it recently,
Oh,
but oh
okay.
well.
Was it Aunt Galligan?
No, it was a newer runner. I think his name is Scuffed or Distortion or something. I'm not sure, but he changed his name a couple times, so that's why I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, maybe at the end of this year you can take the time back. That can be your 1200th.
Yeah, I think he only beat it by like 1 second, so there's definitely still time to improve.
Nice. I believe in you. All right, well, the final question. What is your favorite Doom monster and why?
So I would probably have to say the Revenant. Probably because he has homing projectiles and you can use it in so many different combat scenarios, and it's just like a really fun monster to fight.
So favorite, that's sort of your favorite monster to fight and to map with as well.
Yeah. I think Bemused would agree that it's just like the best, so to speak, Doom monster.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people have said it. I know Rubix picked the Revenant. I think Bemused did pick it. I think he maybe had a meme pick of the Zombie Man too, so, which is a very Bemused thing to pick. But yeah, it's definitely a common one. It's usually Archvile and then Revenant's right there behind him. But yeah, a solid pick. Very versatile monster, great for using in maps, and also generally fun to fight. Yeah, I think what's good about the Revenant is that it's fun to fight on its own. Like, you can just have one Revenant and it will be fun, and then it's also fun to fight in like absolutely massive packs, so incredibly versatile.
Yeah, exactly. And I said Bemused because I remember I was playtesting a map for him. I think it was like for Abandon or something, and it just felt like every single fight there was just like a Revenants. And I gave him the feedback. I was like, you know, Revs are really fun to fight, but they're pretty much in every single fight, so maybe you want to switch it up a little bit. And he was just like, no.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, people are like, there are too many Hell Knight Cyber Demon fights in Fractured Worlds, but I wouldn't change it, so I understand it.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on, Dubs. It was interesting to, A, hear your voice. I know that you'd, like, talked on Twitch a little bit in the past, but I missed those streams, so huge moment for me. but also, yeah, interesting to hear you talk about speedrunning and stuff. I guess I think of you as someone maybe a little bit newer to the community than, like, you know, a lot of speedrunners or other mappers that I've sort of talked to for a while. So it's been interesting watching you get, like, progressively better and better at the game to the point where you're, like, one of the top speedrunners. So definitely interesting to hear about that, and interested to see what you come up with map-wise as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, and without any spoilers, I am definitely working on a couple of mapping projects, so see what happens.
Cool, sounds good. And to everybody listening, thank you very much, and I will be back next week with another guest. So yeah, bye. Well, Pixdrift has subscribed to the highest level on Patreon. They are now a Doom God. So I'm giving them a spicy shout out at the end of the podcast, as promised. If you'd like your own shout out, you're going to have to match Pixdrift's incredible generosity. So that's really on you. But yeah, thank you. Thank you to all my patrons, but mostly and really only Pixdrift. But yeah, thank you to everyone.